Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Larissa. We're two working moms
and real-life friends
on the journey to improving our family's health.
We're digging through the facts and fads around living a cleaner, greener lifestyle.
With plenty of cocktails.
Whether you've taken the plunge like Larissa
or just a little crunchy curious like Allison, this podcast's for you.
Welcome to the Crunchy Cocktail Hour.
Hi, guys. This is Larissa, and I'm here with Allison.
Hi, everyone.
Today, we're going to be talking about crunchy daycare. How do you make a healthier experience for your child at daycare? How do you select a daycare? And to take us through that topic, we've got a special guest, Amy Brady, who happens to be the daycare director at our children's school. So before we dive into our topic, what are we all drinking today, Allison?
So today we've got a white cranberry martini. It's the perfect girls' night drink. So cheers to crunchy daycare.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
And welcome, Amy.
Welcome, Amy.
Okay.
So the first thing you have to know about Amy is Amy and Larissa have been friends since high school, which knowing Larissa in high school must have been a trip.
Good times.
For that.
So Amy, we just want to know a little bit more about you and sort of your background. So maybe you could just give us like a quick introduction of why you got into being a director in early education, who you are and what you're all about. So of course you're a mom of one.
I'm a mom of one to Finnegan, who is just precious and amazing.
And how old is he now?
He is two.
Oh,
I know, he's getting too old. Went into childcare because I wanted to be an elementary school teacher. And of course, that's where I ended up. But best thing I ever did, it is the best job in the world.
And you originally started out as a teacher before you were a director, though, right?
Yes, I did. So started off as a teacher in the classroom and just kind of moved up as there was an opening to like assistant director. They kind of created that position for me and then eventually just kicked the old director out. No, I'm just kidding.
You made room for yourself.
Tell the truth.
Wait, so were you in multiple different age groups?
I was, yes. So I was in the infant room for a very brief stint and then in the two-year-old classroom and then the pre-kindergarten and then the kindergarten.
So favorite room and most challenging room?
The two-year-old room was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
They're just like super fun at that age. Most challenging? They all have their own challenges. So I don't know if there was one that I disliked. I mean, the infant room was a lot of fun. It was nice because there's like a lot of structure, but at the same time, it's just like a lot of cuddling too.
So many cuddles when they're
I love
that
the
age.
Cuddles. They're the best.
The best. So why did you choose to work at the school that you currently work at? What drew you there?
Honestly, I was substitute teaching in school districts and I was tired of it and I wanted to find a permanent home and it just became my home.
Oh, nice. And you've been there for how long?
11 years.
Wow.
I know.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
It makes me so old.
But that's good. And actually, I think we'll get into it. But one of the things about selecting a daycare is sometimes looking at the tenure of people that have been there. So that's incredible. It's definitely a deciding factor, I think, probably for both Larissa and I.
Yeah. I'm a huge believer in that, you know, yes, it's the school and it's the curriculums, but it's very much about the teachers.
Oh, 100%.
That they make or break the school.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. They are the reason that we have happy kids. So,
yeah. And I have to say, I've never seen a school run like Amy runs a school. Like, she knows everything that's going on at every point in the day, in every classroom. Like, you are somehow everywhere all at once.
It takes a
It takes a village that you help manage and organize.
Yeah.
But definitely the teachers and the directors
are
a big reason that we like the school as well. Yeah.
And I've literally brought everyone I can think of over there.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
Because they're all fun people.
And you just snuggle all the babies.
Oh, which the is babies.
The so in previous episodes, we've had a quiz about what kind of crunchy mom you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you've taken this quiz actually on multiple occasions. So you ended up getting where?
So originally, before Larissa, I would have definitely been like the, what's the first one? The
silky.
The silky, yes. That makes me think of the one chicken we have.
That is her saying chicken because, yes, they have chickens.
We have chickens. But now I lean towards scrunchy and I am working my way somewhere in the world of that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wait, do we need to start doing like a pre-Larissa, post-Larissa?
I think so.
Because I could have one. We're all silky until Clarissa comes in and judges us.
Infiltrate yes. and make you do what I want you to do.
Exactly. I love the
But in a good way.
Yeah. Pre-post. Like in the nicest
Not
way possible.
Not forceful at
like
all.
Super aggressive.
I mean, you make us uncomfortable and then we
I hear. Expect no less.
For your own good.
Now, would
it's
you
just
say that
you care.
Would you say that you're continuing down crunchy or are you kind of where you're comfortable with?
I mean, right now I think I'm comfortable where I am, but I'm definitely crunchier with things for Finn.
Interesting. In what way?
Like I make different food choices for him.
Don't you think it's funny how we do that? And I don't know if that happens for many people when they have kids, but like the choices you make for them are a little bit different than the choices you make for yourself. Like, you know, shouldn't what's the best for them be the best for you too?
It's
it should
so much
be.
Easier to make that decision for your kids because you're this perfect little pure being Ugh. And you don't want to give them anything that would harm them in any way. But, you know, we're old and haggard and can eat anything.
Yeah.
Disagree.
So one of the things we wanted to get into is sort of what you've done and things that you are thinking about doing to make daycare healthier. So, you know, of course, as the director, you have opportunities to implement new rules. There are some limitations there from a regulation perspective. But maybe you could explain to us first what that looks like, where what things are regulated versus where you can make decisions. And then we can go from there.
Interesting. So I work for a school that is a franchise. So we have those regulations plus the state regulations. So like one state regulation is with our cleaning, we have to use a bleach and water solution. Which
so when you tell me you clean things with all the bleach, you're
all the
literally
bleach.
Cleaning with all the bleach.
It's all the bleach.
Okay. Thank you.
3/4 teaspoon of bleach to 1 gallon of water.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It's delightful.
Do you know that Allison likes the smell of bleach?
Oh, bleach and chlorine are my two favorite smells in the whole world.
I think we talked about this before.
I love it. It's so delicious and clean smelling, but I don't use it anymore.
I know.
It's so depressing. But anyway, you still have that glorious
smell.
So
we have to use bleach. I have to pour bleach in the morning.
But then
or
again,
season.
I feel like most people will be okay with that because, you know, all the germs.
Right.
All the kid germs.
Right. So we're bringing in lots of things to school. And then we have, you know, for we have that for our sanitizing versus our disinfectant for our diapering. And that also is lots of chemicals. But we have to follow the rules. Mm-hmm. But there's other things that we can put in and we change as needed. Or, you know, if a parent brings a request to us or if it's something within reason, we can do that, but we also have to make sure we're contacting our franchisee, like following those agreements. There's too many hands that we have to answer to.
Yeah.
But I've seen you like, you know, my kids have been at the school a little bit over 4 years and I've seen you guys, you know, of course there has been some things and I'm sure we'll get into it that you've accommodated for me based on my preference. I say it so nicely, accommodated for me. But I've also seen you guys meet school-wide changes
True.
That are healthier for the kids. Like, I know that, you know, once you got to a certain classroom, there used to be juice in the classroom, mm-hmm. and now that's removed.
Correct.
So, are there any other things like that?
So, yeah, the juice, they were allowed to have juice anywhere from 2 and up. And even though it was cut with water, like, we are now, there's no juice because we are monitoring the amount of sugars we provide the children at our school.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that was something that actually was franchise decision, and I think it was a really good one. They don't need, I mean, to each his own, but they don't need the juice, especially at school. If you want to pack in your kids' lunch, they can do that then. And then other snacks is we are trying to do more fruits and vegetables, being aware of where they're coming from when the owner goes to buy them. Making sure that there are good choices. Like tomorrow they're going to have carrots and they don't love carrot day. But it's okay. And we also have built a small garden in our playground area that in the spring and summer the children tend to. They'll pick cherry tomatoes or cucumbers as they come in. We did grow mint, but that has taken over. So we are going to get rid of the mint.
Mint is like a weed. It'll just take over your entire garden.
It's hilarious, though, because the kids will just stand there and smell it.
Oh,
it does smell good. Cute.
It does.
It's pretty.
It is pretty.
That's true.
But I think that's an important one, too. So I know when we first looked around at schools, there's, you know, the schools that don't provide anything in terms of food. Mm-hmm. There's your school, which is, you know, Midway, you guys provide snacks but not full meals. And then there's some schools that provide meals. And I know that, you know, I always had in my head that I would send whatever food that I wanted to the school. And you guys are always accommodating in terms sure. of like, you give my kids what I send in. And then, you know, if there's something outside of that, you'll call me. But I did also find that as I was looking at other daycares, you know, you guys were, even 4 years ago, fairly mindful about what you were giving to the kids. You know, I didn't see any of the, like, you know, fruit in a can or like the no. little fruit cups of things swimming in sugars and stuff. It was usually as whole based as it could be.
Mm-hmm. True. Either apple slices or applesauce with no sugar added. But we do try to give them, like I said, like things that are, we try to be mindful of where they're coming from. And as far as like any special snack, we always have to have ingredient lists for that. It has to be store-bought so we can kind of track it. But the kids never think differently at this point if they have a different snack than what the other kids have. And it's just, that's what they have. And I think that's a good thing because everybody has different restrictions, dietary restrictions. We all know about that at this point.
Well, actually, that's a good segue because I think one of the things I want to ask you about is requests that you get.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we've had so many conversations about this because of Claire and her allergies. And I know you've had to implement really strict strategies. Do you want to maybe talk a little bit about what those strategies look like with kids with allergies?
So it's always different with each child and the severity or what kind of it comes into play. And with Claire specifically, Susan, our assistant director, was fantastic in really getting a game plan down for that and just going full force with making sure everybody knew all of what needed to go into play. So with her, we had different, you know, we had to have many conversations with parents just so they understood and they understood the whys of it and the importance of it. Whereas, so in her classroom specifically, we have cut out her allergens, except for dairy, because it's hard to tell parents they can't bring milk in.
Or yogurt or cheese.
Right. That's very difficult. Right. So, but she also has, like, not to be like she's in a special seat, but she does sit
in a special seat
because at one, they're going to get up and walk around and they're going to try to grab things. So trying to be mindful of that and making sure that she's in a safe environment. And where we had a child that was in the 2-year-old room, they had extremely severe allergies. They had to have a special table that they could sit at because they were gluten-free and a ton of other things. Yeah. And we could have certain children sit with that child, but we had to be very mindful of what they were bringing to the table because we don't want to have a child just have to sit by themselves. But that's where, like, modeling with our teachers sitting at the tables with the kids, we always say any kind of eating opportunity is a time to model good behavior and good choices and food choices and to be just a part of that element with the kids because they see what's appropriate and what's safe food handling skills.
Very nice.
And I think, like, some of the other things that I've seen, too, so even food aside, right, I think I was surprised to see that I think that I've seen some kids there who do cloth diapers.
True.
You guys have accommodated mm-hmm. that.
Yep.
Which, is that common that schools accommodate that?
They can't be.
I think it's common. It's just there's not that many families that do cloth diapers. Because the thing with cloth diapers is whatever happens to that diaper has to go home as is. Like, we can't dump any bowel movements. Mm-hmm. It just has to be folded up and put in a bag. So a lot of times parents don't really want to deal with getting that back.
Yeah.
But we've had several families come through with cloth diapers, and it's just kind of par for the course. Yeah.
Okay. So I think that's the good point, is that you do receive requests.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So one of the things we wanted to ask is, what sort of, like, some of the crazier requests that you've gotten, and were they Larissa?
They were always Larissa.
They were not. Mine are not crazy, I don't think.
Maybe a lot of rules were implemented because of you. Who knows?
You can tell the truth.
I mean, she did start the trend of all these healthier choices, but in a good way.
I'm shaking my head. But, like, I'm shaking my head no. Do you think that I came in at a time when people were starting to be more conscious of that?
Yes.
Because I do think that that's some of it. I think it was like that time several years ago when it was like, stop with the plastic, you know, eat this, don't eat that. Like,
Totally agree. I will say you were definitely one of the first parents that came in with glassware for their child's lunch. And that is now, we have like 10-ish lunches that we
get. I told everyone they could bring glass.
Told them all. So that's one of the rules. We can't have glass in the classroom because if it drops and breaks, it's not a good scene with children around. So we just have all of different policies for that. But I will say, like I said, we have like 10 plus, myself included, that now only uses glassware at school, and just making sure that that's a safer heating option than all the Tupperware.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. But how can a parent best partner with you? So say we didn't know you and we were coming in blind and we wanted to implement some healthier techniques at our own daycare, whether it be glass or cloth diapering or bringing on our own food. How would you suggest a parent work with you to do that in the best way?
I mean, if you're not dealing with a force to be reckoned with, like Laura.
Demanding.
No, I mean, so we're pretty open. We want to hear. My biggest thing at school is, like, it takes a village. So we are all on the same team. We all want what's best for all these kiddos. So just coming in and having a conversation, or, hey, can I pick your brain? I wanted to chat with you about this. Is this a possibility? And just knowing that it can be within reason and sometimes it can't, and accepting of it. But we want the best in the end of, at the end of the day. We just have to make sure it's, no matter what, a safe environment for all the children. So however we can make that happen, we want to do it. I think it's just having an open conversation. And it depends on who you're talking with and who the director or assistant director or owner may be. But if you're just open and honest, I think that's the best route.
Yeah, and just opening that dialogue and having the conversation and understanding that it's a two-way street, right? There's certain things that we might be coming in with certain expectations, but there's also like a broader environment that we're in. It's a shared, what is it called? Group care environment.
Group care, right. So we always say, like, while I understand you're worried about your child, I have to be worried about everybody's child.
Yeah. I think that you had a good question. We were trying to figure out how to phrase it, but essentially, what is it that you wish parents knew about the workings of daycare that would make it a better relationship between teachers, directors, and parents?
I think sometimes that teachers or parents may take for granted what the teachers do all day and not realize the love they pour into the kids every day. And I will say for our teachers, they love those kids.
They're amazing teachers.
They truly love the kids. And sometimes I don't know if parents see that because something small may come up, or they may have a small concern, which I'm always like, come talk to me. I want to know immediately, but like, just take a step back and see like all that they're managing every day. I think just valuing those teachers, because there is turnaround in childcare, and to find a place that has people that just pour their heart into the kids, like, you want to see that. Mm-hmm. So just valuing them and taking a moment to appreciate them.
Nice. And I think too, one of the biggest things I've like seen or learned or and I think you kind of made this point just a few minutes ago, Amy, but you know, I think that open conversation, most directors and owners will be super open to helping with whatever it is that you're requesting for your child, as long as the parent making the request understands that it can't be impactful of other kids, right? Like, you can't do so much for one child that it takes away from the care of another child.
Right.
And so I don't know that I've had like a ton of crazy requests, but I've certainly had requests, right? You know, it's been things around food, or it's been things about how the food is prepared, or the way nap time goes, or whatever it may be. And I've definitely had times where I've said something, and then after I've said it out loud, I'm like, maybe that's not normal, and maybe that's not necessary, right? And I've like taken it back, or we've talked it through and we've decided we don't need to do it that way. We could do it another way. But I think that's one of the most important things. I mean, in our eyes, our children are the only ones, right?
Absolutely.
And that's where our focus is. But I think knowing, like, if we think about Claire's allergies, Allison, like, you know, it's probably super inconvenient for a lot of the parents in your kid's classroom that they now can't serve a bunch of stuff that are easy to pack for their kids and things like that. But if they stop and think for a moment that if that were my child, the school would be accommodating them in that same way.
Yeah.
It might be a little bit of a different perspective.
It's just a good spin to think of.
Yeah.
If they're doing that for another child, they do that for mine
and so
too.
Sometimes it's even thinking about not only like, being respectful of the teachers and the directors and the people who run the school, but also kind of the other parents and their circumstances as well. Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that I will say as of late, I've really tried to help parents to understand, because it's hard. It's hard to see that viewpoint, because
definitely
you want what you want for your kid. And it's hard when you're in group care, because you know, you don't think about there's a 1-to-5 ratio in the 1-year-old room. So there's 5 kids per 1 teacher, and they are being pulled this way and that way. And there's accommodations made in many different directions. But it's at the end of the day, you got to look out for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have your son in the same daycare, right?
Oh my goodness. Yes.
So it's like a blessing and a curse, isn't it?
It is.
I was going to ask, how do you manage that? Because you're both the parent and the director. So sometimes do you have to battle both in your mind?
Oh, I so tap into teachers? Susan. I so tap into Susan.
You like almost never try to go into the room, right? If like his room, if you don't have to,
I try not to. Now he just transitioned to the 2-year-old room, and it's really hard to not go in there, because I just feel like I miss him more now.
Yeah.
But like when he was in the infant room, anytime I could hear him through the wall crying, Susan was like, I'm on it, I'm going, because like I couldn't. I just couldn't. Yeah. It was hard for me to do that transition. But it is a blessing and a curse. I fully appreciate the teachers, and sometimes I really take advantage of the fact that I have their phone numbers, because I will text, like, not in a bad way, but yeah, I do want to text them and say, I really appreciate the picture you took today, because yeah, I don't think they sometimes hear it from me, because I'm just running around with other kids and I'm like, did you get a picture of this person? Did you do this today? But it's hard, because he really wants to just be in mommy's office now.
Of course. I mean, I can't even be in the same room as Claire if I'm doing something else. So I can't even imagine he sees you all day and he's like, but mom.
Yeah.
But mom, come hang out.
He started convincing the teachers to call me from the class phone.
Oh my God.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, those manipulative little kids.
Yeah.
Before we continue, let's take a quick break so we can tell you about our sponsor for today. So HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers your favorite step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. I love this because I know firsthand how difficult it is to not only make time to cook a meal, but also to menu plan. And if you're like me and you want a variety of recipes all the time, this is awesome. HelloFresh makes it so easy for you to cook a delicious, balanced dinner for less than $10 a meal.
There are actually 3 plans to choose from. There's classic, veggie, and a family option. And I love that all plans are going to provide not just produce, but really seasonal produce. We talked in our grocery store hacks episode, if you had a chance to listen, about the importance of seasonality, especially with produce.
And you know I love that there's a vegetarian option.
And I love that I can scarf down their famous Juicy Lucy burger with tomato onion jam and arugula salad. No, seriously, we are big fans of the benefits of HelloFresh for busy families. Head over to HelloFresh.com and use code CRUNCHY30 to get $30 off your first week and give yourself a break. All right, so the next thing we really want to talk about is selecting a daycare. I think a lot of the conversations I've had with moms and something I struggled with is trying to pick somewhere to send your kid. It's just, it's daunting. It's terrifying to think somebody else is going to be taking care of your kid during the day. So where do you even start looking for a daycare, and what you should really be looking for as you're starting the search process?
My opinion. So when we have like a tour, they're always, that's a question we get, or how soon do we have to make a decision? And I always say you have to go with your gut. You get a real feel when you go somewhere. I've looked at other centers, and you just have to see and sense what's going on in the classroom. Our rule is we never tell anybody when a tour is coming through, because we want it to be the real action of what's going on, and we don't want any fake acts going on. But just talking in the office, whoever, I do think that one part is whoever's up in the office, they kind of set a tone for what's going on elsewhere. In a, like, certainly by far, I do not set the tone for the whole school. But I think if you have somebody that feels like it, like I said, it's my home. It's important to me. It's not like I'm just there to be there. And so I think that is one way, like, you just want to see that somebody cares. You want to know that somebody's caring about your kid. Mm-hmm. And it is the hardest decision to make.
Yeah.
And just understanding, like, so from my perspective, I understand that as anybody comes into tour, and you don't want it to feel like it's a business. It's not. I mean, it is, but that's, it's not. It's children. So it's.
Yeah. And I will tell you, like, on my hunt, to your first point about
first impressions at the office. I actually went to one school where I felt like the principal was afraid of me. Like,
interesting.
It just seemed nervous to talk to people, and it just made no sense to me. Like, you know, it wasn't warm. It was just kind of not looking me in the eyes, not really wanting to engage, just kind of wanted to get it over with. And so there was no way my kids were going to go to school there because in my mind, similar to what you said, if that is the choice the school makes in terms of the first impression that when I walk in the door, then I don't want to know what's like past that.
And similarly, one of the schools I met with before I had met with you, Amy, I felt rushed to make a decision to sign up to hold my place, you know. And actually, that school ended up calling me after Claire had been with you guys for 6 months, letting me know that there was a spot. So
that's part of the thing that's hard is like that is something that we're like coached on. Like I'm coached to try to do that from the corporate office type perspective and how they should run tours. And that's just not my game. Like, I don't want anybody to ever feel like there's one spot you have to come in. And I say that I'm very open with families when they come in. I'm like, sure, like, this is the reality is, yes, there's one spot in this time frame or there's three spots, but that shouldn't be a factor because it needs to be how you feel. I mean, you know, walking in a place, if it's no matter what, it's the hardest decision, and just feeling like that's respected by somebody.
Yeah, but I think your point is really about go with your mom gut, right?
Totally.
Like, how do you feel? And I know I did go into what did you call it? Like, you guys are franchised, but like some other schools are.
They're corporately run.
Corporate schools, yeah. So I definitely went to a school like that, and I literally felt like it was a corporate office. And, you know, I work in that kind of environment, and normally I like a lot of process, and I like things to be super regimented. But when it comes to your child, that's not the way you want it at all. You want it to be warm and, you know, accommodating, and not every child is treated exactly the same, because no child is exactly the same.
Yeah.
So true.
But I think the message, like your first point, is just all around, just go with your gut, because it's usually right.
Yeah.
And from like a box ticking perspective, what are a couple of things that you absolutely want to look for? So I know tenure of teachers.
Teachers.
So there's, I remember walking into the infant room and you being like, this is Miss Debbie. She's been here for 15 years and she was just the warmest person
she
I've ever met.
The best.
But so tenure of teachers is a big one. Are there a couple others?
I mean, obviously cleanliness, looking around, seeing what's going on in the middle of the day, because while we don't do like drop-in tours, because I don't know anything about you, I need you to take the time to make that appointment. You should be able to walk into a classroom at any point in time. And just, we always tell teachers that it's all about perception. So when a parent walks in, what's the perception of what's going on in this room? They don't know the backstory of what's happening. So just making sure that when you walk in, you are getting the sense of what's really happening. Cleanliness is definitely a big one. Seeing what outside environment looks like, I think that's important, because you want the kids to get outside. You want them to have that fresh air and be running around, and what is that space and what does it offer? Which I think a lot of childcare centers are working on right now is outside space and trying to make it a little bit more user-friendly for kids and have more natural elements to it.
Like a beautiful vegetable garden.
Like a vegetable garden.
I think one of the things too that I remember walking in having a very specific opinion about what I wanted and seeing something different and Amy kind of schooling me on why I shouldn't have it is we're in a day and age where like technology is everywhere, and I expected to come in and see like a pin pad to enter the school, and I wanted to be able to see my kid on a monitor at any time of day from my phone. And I remember Amy kind of telling me, I'm sitting at the door and I'm buzzing people in, and I'm buzzing people in that I know, or there's like a specific password that someone has to give if they're picking up your child, but someone is checking them in at the door, right? Because you can give that PIN code to anyone. And then the second thing being around the monitors too, which is, you know, if you can look at your child, other people can look at your child. And that was like terrifying when you said
it's
that
so
to me.
Scary.
And you were like, I was like, I'm just kidding. I don't want that.
I don't want
I'm so glad that doesn't exist here. But I think that's not like a checkbox to your point, Allison, but more so of like, think about why you want what you want and think about the flip side of it. And technology in some cases is not always better.
That's a good point, because I did think I also wanted that sort of log into my phone and right. I can see her wandering around the classroom. I know
you want that because you've got a baby monitor right next to you right now.
Watching her sleep, which is creepy. But because I know people who have said like, oh, look, this is my kid's school. Then you think about that and you're like, I'm seeing somebody's kid's school and seeing these kids wander around their class and I'm
And it's not just your kid that you're seeing.
Exactly. So, and even pictures you guys lock down if there's other children in it.
Right. So we have when photos go out, and certainly there's ways that people can go around them, you know, with the app that we use, you can download a photo if it's just your child. But if it's another child, you can't download and save it. Can parents take a screenshot of it? Yes. But we would hope that, and we always say to families, like, please use your judgment. It's not your child. It's not your choice to post that to places. So, I mean, there's definitely like the security cameras we have around the perimeter of the building, but that's just to keep an eye on the rest of the school. Otherwise, in the classrooms, if you don't trust your teachers, then why are you there? Like, I understand you want to see them, but it's also a trust factor.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the things that you guys do that I've always really loved is that if you've had a bit of a hard drop off or something, you'll always send that midday photo or early morning photo just to so you can see that your kid's settled and comfortable. So there's still an opportunity to have that engagement.
Absolutely. And we are always open to parents calling at any point, sending an email. We check them all the time. I was just joking. I was just checking a parent email that just came through, even though we're not even open right now, because your concerns are important to us. And the nice thing about that is I even get it as a parent. So if I know Finn's had a rough drop off, the teacher sent me a photo too, and it's beautiful. So I get it. It totally makes my day. I get it.
And I think that's one upside of the technology too is, you know, you guys have a software that you use and I get an email every day. I know exactly what the kids have done in terms of their curriculum for the day. I know how their lunches went or what time they ate or what time they napped. And I get pictures associated with that. Mm-hmm. And I remember like when we first started, right, we were getting like a piece of paper, right? The piece of paper that gets crumbled and like collected in the backseat of your somewhere. Car. So there really is something to that, right? Because you've got an electronic record of all their pictures that I can pull up whenever if I want to like tug at my heartstrings and like look back to the beginning. But I can also kind of very clearly see the curriculum. It helps me have conversations with my kids at the end of the day. Or like even Claire being as young as she is, you can see what she's done and like follow through with that. Mm-hmm. Like maybe you want to reread a book that they read to her, or sing a song, or like work on a skill.
Yep.
I think that part's really helpful. So it's, I don't know, I would tell you to find a school that has that kind of system that gives you a lot of visibility into what's happening in the day.
But also has that structure around their day. Absolutely. There's so many enriching activities at this school specifically. And knowing that she's there, I think about her being at home and I'd be like, we would have played peekaboo like 17 times. And here they're learning about the solar system.
My son has learned about the presidents and he's obsessed. And I'm like, you are 2 years old. I don't understand.
How do you know the presidents?
His 1.5 year old teacher taught him.
That's amazing. So those are some things that you should look for. But when you walk into a school as a new parent, what should be some things that are a bit of a red flag?
Are the teachers involved? Are they with the children? I mean, as much as the teachers make it, they break it. And is there somebody that's kind of walking around? Are they aware of what's going on? Is there a child that's sitting there sad and nobody's tending to them? And what's going on? What's the story there?
Oh my God, stop. That's breaking my heart.
I know. It's awful. And certainly there's times where a child might just need a minute or they don't want a teacher to be cuddling them. And you have to understand that. But I don't know. I'm just like, just scoop them up. I mean, there's so many times where we bring kids into the office because we're like, just come hanging out with us. Like, we want you to come up here. And I think just walking into a classroom, like, is there an odor in the classroom? Like, is it not... are they keeping diapers in the classroom? We personally keep diapers outside at all times because you don't want to have that constant poop smell in the classroom. What do the bathrooms look like for the kids? I think that's something that's not really ever really focused on. But
if I'd ever come in and say, like, let me see the bathroom.
Well, I always show them on tours because I'm like, these are the kids' bathrooms because they're like little potty seats, like for them to be closer. But like, is it cleanly? Because you're going to be learning potty training on there. So that's something that, I mean, I show them on tours because I feel like sometimes you want to see that. But I'm also like, just, here's everything. Come and look at it.
But again, that contributes to the vibe. that you feel when you walk in, because you are so willing to share everything, and you know, you want parents to experience what their kids are going to be living in day to day. So I think maybe that's another piece of the red flag. If it doesn't feel great, or a teacher doesn't feel right.
Yes.
That's your gut, you know.
Yeah. You know. Because I remember kind of walking through the halls and peeking into the classrooms, and you see if the kids are happy or not, or if they're engaged. Mm-hmm. And I would add to, like, and I think this is a, you know, something to check off and something to, you know, that would be a red flag is, if there are things that are important to you, and maybe I didn't know all those things right away when I walked in, but if there are things that are important to you that you already know about, or if you just want to get a feeler, like, find out how flexible the school is, right? Like, if somebody were to have a conversation with you and they would see that you would create some flexibilities for things that their child needed versus I'm guessing here, right? But if probably I went to a corporate school, it would be a lot stricter and it would be a lot tighter. If you are someone that's totally fine with all the mainstream rules, then maybe that doesn't apply to you. But if you are someone that has a child that maybe has particular needs, or you need, you know, like an assistant to come in with them during the day, or like whatever it may be, or they have allergies, you wanna go somewhere and get an understanding that they will work with you, right?
Absolutely. And I mean, everything from like you said, their diet and stuff. So some schools will offer lunch programs. We don't offer lunch programs. We did a survey to our parents. They're not interested. They want to know what's in their kids' meals and how it's being provided.
So I know how difficult it is firsthand to, you know, I don't know, relinquish your child to someone else and let them care for that child day in and day out, being a working mom. And you guys are seeing my child more than I see my child in a day. And, you know, I was lucky enough, and Allison, you were too, to, you know, have our kids at home until they were older, right? But you take babies as young as 6 weeks old. And it's difficult as a parent. But sometimes that's your reality. And I think that we could sit here and we could drain the questions of what you should look for. But I would also say that, like, every family situation is different. Every child is different, and what you need is different, and what you look for a school is different. And so I think we could never cover it all. Mm-hmm. But I think the important thing that we get from this whole conversation is, like, know what's important to you and find it, right? Like, find the school that will accommodate it, find the teachers that are right for your child and for you. And, you know, don't make, I don't know what the word is, like, don't compromise on what it is that you need and what it is that you need from your child care center. I think you can find what it is that you're looking for. Yeah.
I think the other thing I'd add is that, like Larissa said, it's a tough decision to decide to send your kid to daycare. It's hard to give somebody else your child to care for during the day, but it can be a healthy, rewarding, enriching environment when you make the right decision. And it can be the right decision for your kid, and it can be a great one. I know I've seen Claire really flourish and learn things far faster. And she loves her teachers. She's just
her teachers the
in
best.
Love with her teachers. And of course, Miss Amy.
Little smitten too.
So it's one of those things where it's a hard, hard decision to make, but it can be a great one.
It's totally rewarding for us too. We love them.
We love that you love the Munchkins. So with that, Amy, thank you so much for joining us. Seriously, this was so wonderful to talk through crunchy daycare and, of course, just have a cocktail with you.
Always.
As always, guys, you can find anything that we've discussed today on crunchycocktailhour.com. Maybe Allison and I will sit down and bucket some of this advice that we've gotten from Amy in case you want to reference back. You can find our drink recipe. What was that called, Allison?
It is a white cranberry martini.
All right. So you can find that on silverlineandwine.com, as well as our Pinterest at Crunchy Cocktail Hour. And of course, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook as well. Just as a reminder, today is the last day to enter our Function of Beauty giveaway. We're giving away full product customized to you for you and a friend. You can enter either on our Facebook or on our Instagram, and we'll be selecting a winner later today. And lastly, as always, if you like what you hear, please give us a review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Android, wherever you listen, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'll see you guys next Friday.
Bye, everyone.